Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another opportunity to have wonderful in-depth conversations about topics that are empowering to you. And really, I always believe this show is about presenting you with quality information, amazing people who are able to give you a new understanding or a new perspective on the many choices we have to stay healthy and well and balanced in our life. And I really believe that's our greatest gift, is to gain more knowledge so we can truly be empowered and make the best decisions for ourselves and our loved ones. So I have a very special guest for you today, all the way from Copenhagen in Denmark. And we're going to be talking about how to make your cells work for you instead of against you. An integrative health engineering expert, which is my guest, Misha Sakharov. So before I introduce Misha to you, I have something to share with everyone. So what I want to say, and what I've been learning the last few months, is that life can change on a dime, as the saying goes. You go along and you think everything is going to be that way forever and ever, and suddenly you get a rude awakening that's the rug's pulled out from under you, and suddenly you have no idea of what's going on, and your world just been turned upside down. And what do? Well, that's been my experience. So in the end of September, I might have mentioned previous podcasts, but I actually found myself with a fractured hip. And I just found myself, I had collapsed on the ground, and I fractured my femur, and I had to have a total hip replacement. Well, that was pretty dramatic on its own. But that led to further investigation. Why was I found on the ground in my apartment here, basically unconscious? And I must have, like, fallen like a, you know, sack of stones or something. Why? So it led to brain scans. Okay, all right, let's do some brain scans. Let's see what happens. And then the brain scans led to discovery of some type of structure in my brain. And wasn't sure if it was a benign tumor or not. So they said it was, I had a seizure, and that's basically what caused my fall, which was, I never had a seizure in my life before, so I didn't really accept that. But there were a few other events and seizure-like experiences that occurred that led me to think, yes, I do have something that needs attention, and I was told that I have to actually have brain surgery because I had a tumor in my brain that was growing. So, oh my gosh, you know, what do I do? I'm being rushed down to a surgery with the neurosurgery team in Brisbane, Australia, and rushed me down on a Friday, and by Thursday I was going in for surgery. But if that doesn't turn your world upside down, I don't know what does. You know, everything is normal. You think it's leading a healthy lifestyle, and suddenly you're diagnosed with a brain tumor and need immediate surgery. And not only that, the diagnosis of that tumor, which initially was thought to be benign, actually was not benign. It was stage 4 glioblastoma, which in the medical world is the worst diagnosis you could ever have for supposedly a terminal brain tumor. So you can imagine, blood pulled out from under me. I entered a world I had no knowledge of. I don't know anything about brain tumors. I don't know what to do. But I will tell you, the only thing the system offered me was radiation and chemotherapy, which is the standard treatment for a brain tumor like glioblastoma. And the prognosis for chemo and radiation is not a cure. It's just surviving a little bit longer, maybe a year and a half to 2 years. So now I'm faced with a terminal diagnosis. I'm faced with treatment that is going to make my life horrendous, radiation and chemo. And what do? And so the journey begins. And the reason why I am sharing this with you, I want you to know I have found my way through this. I'm still in process. My intention is I will totally heal this. I will put it into whatever kind of remission, sleep, or disappearing act that needs to happen. And I will emerge out of it stronger and more empowered than before. But the real message for everyone, which is why I'm sharing this, is because when we are faced with the unknown, It's the time when we truly must call upon our angels, call upon our inner knowingness, call upon the wisdom. I've done this work with Dr. Joe Dispenza. It's going into the field, the quantum universe. Call forth everything we need, because I know nothing. I know nothing. I had nothing to go with. And all of a sudden, people showed up and opportunities show up and random events happened that were giving me all the necessary pieces of this puzzle that I needed to put together, because there was no system, nothing in the medical system offered any positive reinforcement in any way. There was no solution within the medical system, nothing. So I had to forge my own creative path. And that's where so many of us are right now. We're dealing with so many challenges, whether it's with our health or relationships. We feel like we don't know where to go. It's like it's a dead end. We hit the wall. And I just want to inspire everyone. Go inside. Ask for guidance. Call your angels. Ask to be shown the way. Pray, meditate, whatever it takes, because you are creating opportunities to find your way through the unknown. You know, life really is all about the unknown. Nothing is certain about our life. We don't really know where we're going, where we've come from. It's the unknown, but that's where we create from. So I just want to share this interview with Misha. And the reason I'm having this conversation with Misha, who's an incredible man, because one of those days when I was lost at the beginning of this journey, I decided to do a search, which I hadn't done before. And I did a search, and I put in remission brain tumor, remission for brain tumors. And all of a sudden popped up Sakharov Protocol, this work with Misha Sakharov in Denmark, of all places. I never heard of Misha before. I didn't know what he was offering, but I knew that if he had one thing that I didn't know that could help me, it was worth committing to doing the program with Misha, and I did. And I'm so grateful that I did that. So let me just tell you a little bit about Misha before we bring him on. So Misha is an engineer of both education, trade, and mind. Misha understands health as an engineer and looks at the roots of problems and corrects them in order to remove the symptoms of the dysfunction. In 2009, when chronic stress resulted in illness, he stopped his telecom engineering career and started applying the multidisciplinary systems engineering approach to restore his own health. This led to creation of Sakharov Health Integrative Protocol, a non-pharmaceutical metabolic approach to fully measurable reversal of lifestyle disease. This protocol is based on the idea of achieving the synergistic effects of normalizing nutrition, breathing, and other areas of human physiology together in one process. In 2018, he wrote his first-of-its-kind paper about synergistic effects of structured buteyko breathwork and ketogenic nutrition. And Misha cooperated with Dr. Thomas Safri, who I've had on my show, on a case report on 80 months of survival of his client with glioblastoma stage 4 brain tumor and ketogenic metabolic therapy without chemotherapy or radiation. Misha has a profound experience of teaching and supporting thousands of his clients in reversing various forms of chronic lifestyle diseases. He creates daily support online programs that teach people to take full responsibility for their health through education and supported lifestyle change. By giving structure to their daily practices and teaching them how to maintain effective energy, he says that lifestyle-related diseases cannot be stopped with medication. That way, we can only remove symptoms to stop and reverse lifestyle-related diseases, which basically are all of them. We need to change the causes and roots of those conditions. Quite a profound statement and quite a profound program that Dr. Spogar Misha has brilliantly put together. So I'm so happy to have Misha on the show today. And I just want to officially welcome you, Misha, to What Women Must Know. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Thank you very much for sharing this opportunity for me to speak to people, to your your work that know your work. That's great. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward.
Oh, it was such a divinely guided events, Nisha, as I'm sure you've heard from many people who found their way to you, that, you know, a random moment of just putting in, you know, brain tumor remission, where was I going to go? Where am I going to get this information? Because I didn't want to read anything about what is considered the, you know, side effects and consequences of this condition. I didn't want to have that in my head. I wanted that positive things. I talked to people who successfully were able to put similar brain tumors into remission, so I knew it was possible. So that was the most inspiring part of that early journey for me. So, Nisha, you have your own story to tell about what transformed your life and your health challenges at one point in your life. Can we share about what happened to you that was a profound healing transformation that led you on this journey?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Cheryl. So basically, first, I want to say that you just said that something about randomness. You know, there's an interesting quote I have about randomness. Randomness is a reflection of objective necessity. And this is a crucial one to understand, because the synchronicity things, that's basically, about connecting the dots. It's about integration of different. Well, you can talk about we can talk about physiological things that we're doing. We're changing our physiology in a way. Sometimes, you know, sometimes energy changes in unpredictable ways, and that's a randomness. But basically, it's a reflection of objective necessity. What I mean is that if we understand the triggers of the disease, which is an objective necessity, then randomness disappears. And then we can see basically the results of a structured training, structured lifestyle change. And that's what leads towards synergetic effect, okay? And that effect helped me, and that effect, and I will tell you in a second how my journey started, and the same effect of connecting the dots and triggering basically going away from randomness, but towards understanding of, togetherness of different triggers, which lead to synchronicity, to negative synchronicity or a positive synchronicity. So that's basically what it is. My journey my journey in health started with my own problems. It was heart problems. It was problems with my gut. Basically, since my 20s, I had, almost constant diarrhea, indigestion. And the doctors, I was not really consulting the doctors until some place in the beginning of the end of my 30s, in 36, 37. I thought that it was too much. I had low energy and I had the constant indigestion. And then I started having heart problems. And heart problems are a part of my DNA, basically, in a way. It's familiar problems. My grandfathers died of heart problems. My grandmother, one of them died of Alzheimer's. Another died of heart problems, too. So, also I had some bouts of, I started forgetting things, basically. So it scared me very, very much, those three aspects. And then the trigger was basically not the diarrhea, not the gut dysfunction. The trigger was not really these problems with memory. But the real trigger was that I started having blackouts. I started losing consciousness and just falling down on a tennis court. I used to play tennis a lot, competitive tennis. I used to fall down from my mountain bike and wake up of my dog licking my face into the woods somewhere. It was a crazy experience. And so basically the first time where I was picked up by ambulance, it was in tennis court. The second time it was basically also tennis court. And then it was a special place. It was a cemetery where I've been. We have in the middle of Copenhagen, we have a cemetery where a big old cemetery. It's called Assistens, where Hans Christian Andersen, a storyteller, you know, a Danish, he's there. And I was jogging there. So I was very happy that I lost a conscience very close to the entrance to the cemetery. So I was seen, and basically five times I was picked up by ambulance. The doctors could not really find out what it was, because they said that you are perfectly okay, you have very good health, there's no calcification, there's nothing. Then I started to, ask them, so why do I have this dysfunction? And they said, we don't know really, but next time when you come, we will have a Holter device and we will try to monitor you much better. And my own sense of humor basically just gave me this picture of Misha Sakharov lying lifeless and the pathologo and in the pathologic, how do you call it in English? I don't know. Well, basically, a cold and lifeless body, and it's too late. And I decided that it was my last time in the hospital. I just decided that I don't want to come to the hospital anymore. And this was a very, very strong trigger for me. And still, basically, what leads me on my way, it's I don't want to come to the hospital. I don't want to contact medical system anymore. I just don't want it. It's life is too short for blended whiskey, so to say. And that's what I help my clients now to avoid, to take 100% responsibility for your health in your own arms, on your own hands. And that's what I did. I started looking at my nutrition. Then I started looking at my breathing. And basically, then it was the time where this randomness or a reflection objective necessity led to one of my friends got a glioblastoma. And he said to me, Misha, I can see that you are reversing your own health and you are succeeding. You told me the story. Could you help me? I got like 9 months to live from my surgeon, from my doctor. And we started, I started connecting the dots for glioblastoma. And that's why basically I started working with the most, with the worst kind of oncology that is available. It's a glioblastoma, a 4-stage brain tumor, very aggressive brain tumors. And yeah, in this way, I started the program, basically. So that's my story. And the backstory is that I'm an engineer. I stopped my engineering career in 2009, where I got kind of a buffer overflow, so to say, of stress, very, very stressful work with project management, having sometimes up to 9 small-scale and medium-scale projects, turnkey projects, because I've been like a good, I think I was a good worker, and my boss used to give me more and more. So, and then I understood that unless I change something in my life, I will die of this. So that's basically my story, yeah.
And regained your health in the end?
Yeah, I regained my health. I regained my health, and the best thing that I know is where I had this heart disease. You know, I had like a alarm button on my phone, and the worst thing for me was to come out of the coverage of the mobile coverage zone. So I was looking at my phone all the time when I was in the woods or somewhere to not go out of the cover, mobile coverage zone. Otherwise, I wouldn't be found by medical stuff. So, and now I can go for a day in the woods, for a day in the mountains. I live in Bulgaria. Now I'm just moved from Denmark, and it's a pretty wild place. In the mountains, so I can walk in the mountains outside of coverage, and I don't even think about the alarm button on my phone. So this is where I am now. I'm very, very happy. I am, and I'm still doing everything that I used to do in order to reverse my problems, my health problems. And that's basically what I do with my clients. I teach them physiology. I teach them the methods of reversing metabolic syndrome and cancer. And then I just helping them on the way by having three weekly Q&As. That is supported everything. Yeah.
And, you know, the journey that you had to go through and the people you attracted and the things you learned, which you are now incorporating as a foundation and this healing path that you're on. But what really got my attention, because when I was doing the initial research on how to heal brain tumors, I have to say there's not much out there. There's not much out there. You see some testimonials, but there isn't a path. There isn't a strategy. There isn't a specific program that I was able to find that had success that could take you through the key components of reversing the condition in the body or activating the potential of the body for healing. And that's what I, you know, I saw you were offering, and which intrigued me because I didn't see that offering anywhere else where I looked. So, to be honest, all the major hospitals, wherever you go, it's the same protocol, radiation, chemotherapy. That's it. And they don't promise you recovery. They promise you a longer period of survival with consequences if you radiate your brain, obviously. So I couldn't go that way. So anyway, this metabolic theory of disease is really fascinating. And in the topic that we have today, how to make your cells work for you instead of against you, is so profound because if you are dealing with any chronic illness, your cells are working against you. And if you want to heal, you have to learn how to work with them so they work with you and for you and generate the kind of life force that you need to recover from anything. And that's your experience. I mean, you've done this program for numerous years now, with 10, 12 years. Misha, how many years have you been helping people now?
It's exactly 15 years. 15 years. I started... so it's, you know, the first 3 years I was working with different kinds of things and helping people. And basically health is around 13 years, with health.
So you've got a special program just for helping people with brain tumors. You've got another program that helps people deal with their chronic illnesses. And they're kind of similar, but a different focus, obviously. So let's talk about what you have learned with the world of brain tumors, because there are many kinds of brain tumors. Unfortunately, glioblastoma is the biggest mystery of all, but people have had long-term survival, so that's the path I'm on. I feel well, by the way. I have to let everyone know since I'm talking. I mean, people, you know, it's a freak-out conversation, you know, that I have a diagnosis of a glioblastoma, but I want everyone to know I'm doing a lot of things, some of which is what Misha is recommending, and some of the things I'm doing that I've researched on my own outside of his protocol. But I feel great. You know, I feel great, Misha. I don't have any symptoms. I don't have any impairment. Nothing's going on. I really feel well, and I'm grateful for that. I don't know what people go through when they have this diagnosis. I don't want to know. Right? I just want to know I'm feeling better every day, and that's my affirmation. And I'm committed to everything that you've been teaching in the program. Maybe we can talk a little bit about it. There's a lot to talk about. There's depth. There's depth. I thought I knew a lot. I thought I knew a lot about breath work, which I used to teach. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about breath work. I thought I knew about a healthy diet. I have to tell everyone. I knew nothing about a healthy diet when it comes to healing this. It was, I had to let go of all of my beliefs, my training, my, assumptions. I had to let it all go so I could find the real path that emerged. So, that's what happened to me. And that's what, what you are teaching so well, Misha, because you really have such a profound grasp of the underlying energetics and dynamics to create optimal health, no matter what you're dealing with. And I know you deal with people who have, fourth stage metastatic cancer. You deal with all sorts of issues. Its underlying principles are the same.
Yeah. So, look, we have the problem with the glioblastoma and astrocytoma also, because astrocytoma always mutates. I mean, in the later stages, it's like from stage two, it becomes stage four. So astrocytoma is basically the same. This is what it is special about that we have a kind of a window of opportunity. And when we are in this window of opportunity, before we have basically the point of no return, what we're calling, that we can reverse the glioblastoma through structured work in the protocol, and that's about the kind of the degree of aggressiveness of the cancer. So when people come. Like you, when there is a wind of opportunity, and in your case, wind of opportunity is very good because basically you don't have symptoms and you have a willingness and understanding of the balance between, well, the difference between the invasiveness of standard of care protocols and somehow also the fallacy of some of those ideas. And so you can change, you can take a responsibility, full 100% responsibility, and basically do the work yourself. So that's the difference. And what I learned is basically the most important thing, that cancer is not a single factor disease. It's a multifactorial syndrome, which is triggered by a dysfunctional cellular environment, which is basically very good news. Why is it a good news? Well, because it gives us a possibility to do something to change this dysfunctional cellular environment by lifestyle change, by training. So, and a dysfunctional environment always consists at least more often than not, of multiple factors. Could be chronic inflammation, we can deal with that. Permeability of the gut and the other membranes, by the way, we can deal with that. Autoimmune reactions, we can certainly deal with that. Chronic stress, absolutely. Hyperventilation, chronic hyperventilation, we can deal with that. So when combined, those factors, well, when we change, when we do some structured work with changing those factors, it can create a cellular environment that is not favorable for cancerous cell mutations. And that's basically what we're doing about. The problem with, as I see, with standard of care, that is that it's not changing the environment. It's trying to kill, not reverse the causes, but to basically kill the messenger, which is cancer. And it's a genetic theory. It's not a metabolic theory, but a genetic theory of disease. They say that, standard of care says that cancer and another lifestyle disease depends on your genetic code in the DNA. And that's right also. But we have a choice to let our, bad genes remain silent or sleeping the rest of our life, or to make them come and basically express themselves. And we don't want to express the faulty genes. But the environment, wrong lifestyle, makes them express. So, but the cause of cancer, it's not your DNA. The cause, it's a chronic imbalance in your body's cellular environment. In other words, cancer is the symptom of many unhealthy environmental conditions that trigger dysfunction of the cell and their controlled mutation. On basis of your DNA, absolutely. But if we have once pushed our DNA or our faulty genes into expression, my idea is we can also reverse that. And we can, by the understanding of, we call it not genetics, but epigenetics, something that is over genetics. That's basically, more simply put, it's not the stress itself, but it's your perception of the stressors. Okay? And we can change our perception of the stressors. And in this way, when we change our human environment, we will change our cellular environment. That's basically the core of my protocol. We are changing the cellular environment by changing the human environment. And then the brain cell environment will normalize and become uninhabitable for cancer cells if the unhealthy environmental conditions are addressed successfully. And then we're making it very difficult for cancer to thrive. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
Well, it's just what makes so much sense. You can't heal in the environment that created the condition, whatever illness it is. So it's the exploration of what are the missing pieces that will restore the healthy environment that allows the cells to operate optimally. So in the time we have, and it's a big topic, big conversation, but I just want to say something. You know, in glioblastomas, they don't really know the cause. However, when you investigate the chronic conditions, there's always some level of infection, parasites, there's a self-infection, which I had to investigate. So I went to a very enlightened biological dentist, and sure enough, I have issues in my mouth. I have infections in my gums. I have a tooth that's non-viable. That's a dead tooth sitting there. It's not hurting me, not doing anything, but it's dead. So it's necrotic. It's messages that maybe have been contributing to what went on in my brain, as infections went into my brain. But how do we create, what's the most powerful thing to create a healthy environment? And that takes us back to breathing, Misha, doesn't it? Especially all cancers live in a hypoxia environment. Low oxygen is what allows cancer cells to grow. So how do we increase oxygen in the cellular level? And this is what I've learned from you. I've heard about this technique called Buteyko breathing. I never really understood it. I never investigated it. I knew it had something to do with carbon dioxide, and that was it. But this is the revelation, one of the revelations that I have learned from you, Misha, that is so deeply profound on this healing journey I'm on.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the interesting part. It's not only about normalizing the oxygenation in the cell, because when the oxygenation on the cellular level in your mitochondria is suboptimal, we basically are starting pushing ourselves into survival mode, and that's basically the first thing that happens. And how it happens? It happens by our reaction to our environment. Very often, toxic environment. Well, that's what we call psychosomatics. When we start physiologically, when we start reacting emotionally on our environment, what's one of the processes that it is balanced between sympathetic and parasympathetic system, and that's the roots of psychosomatics. And what happens physiologically also downstream, it's hyperventilation. So a person goes into this chronic, we call it chronic hyperventilation syndrome, where the ventilation of the lungs is a minute ventilation of the lungs is increased comparing to the normal, and it becomes basically a part of the chronic stress. All right, and what happens is we dilute the carbon dioxide in the blood. We are exhaling too much carbon dioxide, so to say, and carbon dioxide regulates the leverage of oxygen. Not just the amount of oxygen in the blood is regulated, but basically carbon dioxide regulates efficiency of leverage of oxygen into the cell, and that is one of the primary aspects, and that's basically what we're talking about. At the same time, CO2 also works by getting rid of lactic acid buildup. It's a major aspect of tumor growth. So when we can see, a method is very special of breathing because it's the only method that is fully measurable by tracking body reactions onto a state of breathlessness. And it's measurable in seconds. And there's a different body reactions that we are measuring towards, which gives us possibility to track progress. And the word progress I use only in a positive sense. It's a good one. The word progress, it's a good word. Unfortunately, the word progress in the standard of care is used in a very negative way. It's progressing of cancer. I'm talking about progressing of health, progressing mm-hmm. of good health. So basically, we turn off the metabolic key to cancer. That's what we do. We turn off mm-hmm. cancer metabolism. We power it off. That's what we're doing. And also, Professor Seyfried, for example, talks about glutamine with one of the major substrates for cancer. It's a part of the Warburg effect, including aerobic glycolysis, and this is a part of it. The truth is that glutamine only becomes a major fuel when there's a lack of oxygen on the cellular level. We have to mm-hmm. understand that. And there's a lot of very interesting synergetic effects of breathing normalization when we're talking directly applied to our current understanding of cancer pathways.
Mm-hmm. This whole thing is so fascinating because we think if you take a big deep breath, you're going to get lots of oxygen into your body. But based on the research of Dr. Buteyko, who developed this understanding and technique, it's the exact opposite. The more you are doing shallow breaths in the belly, you're building up this natural gas called carbon dioxide, which we have had a lot of negative press about. But what I've learned through you and the understanding of this breathing technique, that when you breathe shallow, not huge big breaths, but shallow breaths down, deep belly breathing, you're increasing the production of carbon dioxide in the body. And why is that important that I've learned? It's important because if you can increase carbon dioxide by that shallow belly breathing, you release oxygen that can go directly into the cells, and cancer always is about a low oxygen environment, including brain tumors, right? So it's not by taking big, full breaths that you're increasing oxygen. It's by learning how to heal the breath so you're breathing in a way that we were designed to breathe to increase oxygen availability right into the cells, not just circulating through the bloodstream, but actually, knocking on the door and being welcomed into every cell. critical for a healthy cell function.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was basically not discovered by Dr. Buteyko. It was discovered like a century ago. Dr. Buteyko made a method that used this knowledge for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we're talking about. It's basically Verrigo Bohr effect, so to say, where the low CO2 in the blood reduces oxygenation in the tissues. It's called a depressed Bohr effect, and which is basically about oxidized hemoglobin, oxyhemoglobin dissociation. And it's very strongly dependent on CO2. So when we have CO2 high in the blood, the oxyhemoglobin dissociation is high. So basically, hemoglobin molecule disassociates with oxygen molecule more willingly, letting oxygen come to the cell.
Mm-hmm.
So and there's many other effects also of CO2. We are going away from respiratory alkalosis, which is basically a major part of pH regulation in the body through the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot just depress or change pH in the tissues. Very often we say we need to alkalize to have more alkaline pH in the tissues. It's simply not right, because we cannot do it through nutrition, because it's a very stable regulation. pH regulation is very stable regulation of homeostatic regulation, and it's done through breathing. So primarily through breathing. So when we are reversing respiratory alkalosis by Buteyko technique, we are basically diminishing this over-breathing pattern slowly, and we are reprogramming automatical breathing patterns. That is the most important part about Buteyko technique, because it's not just happens while you are training. No. Buteyko showed in his praxis that that when you do the exercise, your brain's medulla oblongata, it's your breathing center, starts controlling your automatic breathing patterns in a different way. So basically, your automatic breathing patterns, they become slower. So you do not over-ventilate, so to say, your lungs anymore. So you do not diminish the amount of carbon dioxide. So again, you restore normal leverage of oxygen into the cell. And your electrolytic balance and many, many different things are normalized, because that's what low PCO2, low partial pressure of CO2 in the blood does. When you restore it, the whole health regulation is restored, not only cancer. The whole metabolic, basically modern science look at CO2, carbon dioxide, as a major metabolic regulator. Basically, it's not a waste product. We have to remember that it's kind of a hormone. Mm-hmm. Basically, physiologically, CO2, carbon dioxide, is a para-hormone. Not a hormone, but a para-hormone. A hormone which is made in the course of metabolic processes as the by-effect. And that is making afterwards metabolic regulation through its hormonal properties. So that's what CO2 is. Yeah.
Which no one really knows much about CO2. I didn't know the role of CO2 in the body and why it's important, and its role in being able to be one of the factors that can regulate how well you oxygenate. The other thing that's really interesting, there's so much interest these days on alkalining your body. You have alkaline water, you do alkaline food, you take sodium bicarbonate, you alkaline. You have to measure by eating green vegetables, by taking sodium bicarbonate, whatever people think will alkaline the body as a key to health. But what you're saying that to me is even more profound, is that proper breathing, which is the breathing down in the belly, slow breathing, shallow breathing, which increases carbon dioxide, will be the regulating factor to getting the proper acid-alkaline balance in the body. Do I have that correct?
Well, absolutely. And we need to understand the big thinkers of the century, like, for example, Dr. Lipton. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah. Bruce Lipton, yes.
Yeah, Bruce Lipton, and his teachings also about epigenetics. So basically, we need to understand how we are built. We need to understand our evolutionary route, what it is. So basically, how our perception of the environment regulates a balance between sympathetic and parasympathetic. Which sympathetic, it's basically fight and flight. And parasympathetic is basically rest and digest. And you decide your perception of the environment basically defines how the cells are moving.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in Bruce Lipton's books, we can also read about the signaling in the environment. The environment itself can change the way cells are going towards each other or far away, from each other. It's very interesting. It's a very powerful teaching because basically it gives us an opportunity to take full responsibility for our health in our own hands. So from a, like, bird flight perspective, from a major perspective, that's what it is. And I call it, there's some interesting scientific research about what we call a negative feedback loop. Feedback loops, I'm an engineer. I look at health with the eyes of an engineer. And in engineering, we have different interesting concepts. Like, for example, what is feedback loop? We have a positive feedback loop, and this is basically a chaos. It's where you don't have a brake pedal. Your car is going downhill, and you don't have a brake pedal, so it will destroy you. It's called a positive feedback loop. It's where the situation becomes like more and more severe. It's chaos. In physics, it's called the second law of thermodynamics, high entropy. And when we are starting taking responsibility, we all of a sudden we have this brake pedal, and this brake pedal will regulate the process. So when we have a brake pedal, it's called negative feedback loop, NFL. And when we have NFL, well, all of a sudden we can steer the car, we can control the braking process, and we will we will have our life intact. And that is, again, low entropy. We lower chaos. We are lowering chaos. We have a tools to lower chaos in our body. This is great. You know, when people understand those interdependencies and they understand that they have basically the opportunity to control this. Control is not a good word, maybe, but take care of themselves and reverse conditions, and they understand the roots of their conditions. Well, what? They heal. They heal. Because all of a sudden, this environment for cancer cells becoming suboptimal, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, as I listen to you, there's so much to unpack here, but, you know, you think you're healthy. I thought I was leading a healthy lifestyle. But in actual fact, there was chaos going on in my body. I didn't understand how to breathe, how to oxygenate. So, you know, that was a key piece. And then we can talk about the other key piece, which is understanding the role of the metabolic theory of cancer, how to have a diet that's called the ketogenic diet, and there are different levels of that, how to burn fat rather than how to use sugar, which is a fuel for cancer. So I have to change the way I eat. And what I love about your program, Misha, is you get us all, you create an amazing graph, a dynamic graph, and we have to measure every day. We have to measure our blood glucose levels, which I'm telling everybody to do. Measure your blood glucose levels. If it's out of range, you're at risk. And also monitor your keto levels. Are you burning fat for energy? Is my brain burning fat for energy rather than sugar, which is a driver of cancer? So I've had to change the way I eat in a very extreme way. And it's a revelation to put these pieces together. Whatever my destiny may be, what I'm learning and how I'm wanting to share this with people is a profound journey, a profound journey. And I have one other quick thing I want to say before we kind of tie things up for tonight. You cannot heal any condition if you're operating out of fear, anxiety, resentment, anger, unforgiveness. And, you know, we know that there's an emotional component which goes around with it. What you're saying with Bruce Lipton, the environment that you're in is talking to yourselves all the time. And I had a very wonderful, talented medical medium give me some insight when I began this journey. And she said, it's created by you to really learn about unconditional love. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And unconditional love. I didn't really understand what that was about until into this process, I realized through experiences how terrified I was of receiving love. I could give it, but letting it in, and there's a wounded little child in there that was terrified of letting anyone close, anyone really in. And this has been part of the amazing transformation I'm going through, is opening to unconditional love from others. I've gotten so much love from others, but it's really the love for myself that was the biggest healing that I'm in process of going through right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this is a very good one. This is a very important one because basically it connects intrinsically to something we call radical acceptance. And radical acceptance of yourself is the first one. Before you can radically accept others or radically accept your environment that might be toxic, for instance, you need to accept yourself fully and love yourself. And that's why I'm saying to all the people on my programs, both on metabolic and our intensive programs, Beat Brain Tumors programs, where I also take out people with other cancers. And it's not only for brain cancers. Right now I have many people with breast tumors, many ladies with breast tumors, and this is very directly connected with our ability to accept ourselves unconditionally, to love ourselves unconditionally. So I say to those lovely ladies, you know, every time, every morning you wake up, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and smile to yourself, and not with this rigid smile. You need to smile like accepting yourself with a bit of humor and like letting go, where you let your belly relax. You have to smile with letting your belly relax, because this will be a major trigger to healing. And that is, it is. Every single morning when you are in the bathroom, you're looking at yourself in the mirror at yourself, and you are smiling at yourself, forgiving, and fully accepting who you are, how you are right now, in the environment you are right now, the tools that you are possessing right now, and the place you live right now, fully, unconditionally. When you have this smile on your lips, you will learn to relax your belly, letting go. When you relax your belly as a lady, and this is podcast for the ladies especially, the most powerful thing for you, my dear ladies, is the ability to walk and to be in this world with relaxed belly. Mm-hmm. What I've seen, mm-hmm. you know, once some years ago, six or seven years ago, I had a workshop in Israel, and I had a couple of lovely ladies. They were ballerinas. They were not dancing anymore, and I've been working with breathing with them, and they said, Misha, we cannot do this. We've been taught to have a very, very strong core, And this is the same as basically as breathing with your intercostal muscles with your breast muscles. Now, this is a direct way to cancer. This is a direct way to metabolic dysfunction. So, looking at the mirror, that's the, for some of you, these healing journey will start at looking at yourself in the mirror in the morning, every single morning, accepting everything with you and loving and radically accepting it. That's the major good place to start. Before you start your lifestyle change and before you start changing your nutrition, the way you eat, the way you breathe, the way you move, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and really from the deep inside accept it and actually like it somehow, love it. That's the most powerful place to start.
Yep, radical self-acceptance. And, you know, we've come to the end of the show. I'm sure we can do another show with you, Misha, because there's lots to talk about. But if people want to know more about Misha's work, Misha, what for people who've committed to your work, I know you've seen so many, what percentage do you think people actually put their conditions into remission?
A very, very good question. You know, I cannot say because it was many times people came to me in the end of this window of opportunity, and because that's the when you make a program that is called Beat Brain Tumors, and you basically you close you people cannot buy my program. It's interesting because it's only possible after three people have to go through the filter basically. My metabolic program is possible to buy because. But in the intensive program, we're working in a group, and I really need to know what kind of people are coming. There are very little.
You, Misha, I'm going to have to interrupt you. Unfortunately, we only have a few seconds left. So I want people to know about your website. If you want to know more about Misha, go to sakharoff.com, S-A-K-H-A-R-O-F-S.com. Go to sakharoff.com. You learn more about Misha's program and his wonderful life-transforming work. So I just encourage everyone to check out the work that Misha's doing. He works with people all over the world. Misha, we'll have to have you back. There's a lot more to be said, and you have such wisdom that I want to really share with everyone in my audience. So I just have to say goodbye for now. We're at the very end, and may your week be filled with great love, healing, and wisdom, and always honor the wisdom of your family and self, that intuitive part of us. Until next week, bye for now.